Sonny, I have a very specific question to toss your way at the beginning of this episode. What's the most satisfying at bat you have ever had relative to like a pitcher who wanted to talk or was just really cocky and kind of peacocking out there and then you took him deep? Or like, it, what's the most satisfying at bat you've had in a situation like that?
Yeah. Oh man, that's hard. Cause I've hit some really cool homers where it's like the whole, they were just talking, the dugout was talking and the pitchers were talking. And like, once you hit that homer, they're just kind of like, see ya. Like they don't talk anymore. But, in high school, I hit a home run. It was a walk-off homer in which in our high school, we have area, you know, once you go from, you have to win your area to go to the playoffs and whatnot. And so I hit a walk-off home run against Vestavia, which is like a hard Hoover and Vestavia. If anybody from Alabama knows exactly what that's about. And so we hate each other. And I hit a walk-off home run to win area and run around the bases. And they had just been running their mouth the whole game. That was – there's nothing like a high school rivalry, seriously. Like it tops college rivalries, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, it could even go younger than that, too. Like, I was at my son's City League game. Now, we're talking 9 years old, 10 years old, a couple of years ago. And I thought the pitcher was talking. Like, I thought he was taunting. Like 9 and 10 year olds, and he was taunting. And so our team came back and won the game. It was a dramatic, you know, bottom of the sixth comeback, end of the game, fifth, you know, last chance type deal. And our guys started talking back. And I thought, wait a minute, now let's squash this. Just because he's talking doesn't mean we need to set the right example. Come to find out later, our team started the trash talk. So I was getting all worked up, and a lot of our parents on our side were getting really like, I can't believe that coach is letting them talk like that. Well, our coach was letting them talk like that first. So
yeah. If anybody wants to see some true banter, you watch Troy baseball play a baseball game, then you'll find out. Yeah.
Speaking of talking, they talk. There's some, I think we call those antics.
Yeah. That's the fake energy that they need to be good. And that's, I mean, so what? Austin Peay, same thing last year when they came in. Same thing.
That's a good description. There are a few teams out there that kind of are known for those types of antics.
And if it works and they win, like, all right. Yeah. But if the second you stop being good, you better quit that. Cut it out. Yeah.
We saw a team of chirpers win the national championship in Tennessee. Like they took the personality of their coach and Tony Vitello. And so it's hard to argue that chirpers aren't having their moment right now in college baseball, because Troy on Tuesday night knocks off Mississippi State.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tennessee's coming off a championship. It kind of makes sense.
There are ways to do it. Like Butch said after the game with Troy, like he kind of would have liked for us to create our own energy, which is a valid point. I think if you look back, though, 3 weeks from now and the team's still playing with energy and momentum, and it won't really matter where it came from as long as it got generated. Whatever, like, drummed it up inside of you, doesn't matter, long as it's there, long as that passion's there.
Yes, every team has something that gets them going, whether it's like a pregame thing or you have to yell at people during the game. Like, some teams, like, every team has something, and as soon as it stops working, that's when – it looks bad, but as long as it works, it doesn't look bad. So
look, we still tell the story of 22 in Knoxville and game two of that series after Bobby's home run that gave Auburn the lead. So that's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. This is these are our antics. This is the Barn Baseball Show. He's Lindsey Crosby. He's Sonny DeShera in the middle. I'm Brad Law. And guys, a big weekend on tap as the Tigers get set to today travel. If you're watching this on Thursday, traveling today to Texas. It'll be tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday against Ohio State, Oregon State, and Baylor. The games are in order that they're listed on the right side of the screen. And, you know, Lindsey, an awesome proving opportunity for Auburn this weekend.
Yeah, this is something where you've faced opponents that are good, right? Holy Cross expected to win their conference. Wright State expected to win their conference. Troy's a ranked team. We just mentioned they knocked off Mississippi State. But this is a different caliber of competition. Ohio State, new coach, they're struggling a little bit. But Oregon State's historically a very good program. You do have some experience with Oregon State. So I talked a little bit about that. Baylor having one of the best starts in program history. And so, and you do it on the road. First time this team's had to travel. So I'm really intrigued to see what looks different from Auburn baseball this weekend. Are things going to be tougher? Is the pitching not going to be as crisp? Are the hits not going to come as plentiful as they have? Or is everything just going to kind of look the same? And that kind of tells you this might be a special squad that you have this year.
Mm-hmm. This is different because obviously when 2022, when we went and played in Arlington, that was week one. So we got to find out who we were really quick. And so obviously no power five. Auburn hasn't played any power fives yet. And looking at these other teams, except for Baylor, Baylor hasn't played a power five yet, but Oregon State and Ohio State have played just about every game they played has been a power five. And so they kind of know what they're about already. And so it's going to be – this weekend will be a big tell of like, you know, it's going to expose what needs to be worked on, which is good because it's this early in the year. Or it's going to show and exemplify what we're really good at. So it's good. It's good and positives about this.
Yeah. Give you kind of a rundown, and we can take these in order if you want, or you know, however we want to go about them. But Ohio State is the first game. Ohio State is 1-5 through their first six games, which have come against Arizona State for three, and then they played down in Jacksonville last weekend where Auburn went last year, beat NC State, and then lost to Coastal Carolina 10-8 in 11 innings. Lost to Alabama 12-10 in a game that they had a huge lead and blew it in the last three innings. So they've played, you know, the names are there. They're 1-5. They've hit .257, and they have a team ERA of 8.83 through their first six games.
I'm not a professional baseball player, but I don't think that ERA is very good.
That's not good.
Yeah,
that's not good. That's a bunch of free passes and pitchers are getting hit.
They've walked 32. So they're walking about five a game. Five walks a game would drive Butch up the wall if you're walking five. That would
drive me crazy.
Their starters so far this year are a combined 0-1. So, and if you can just see, like, the fewest runs they've given up in a game, I think this year, are seven. They've played a couple of extra inning games, so their bullpen hasn't been able to hold even when they've had leads as you've gone into the second half of a game. So, you know, 3 years ago we went there, Sonny, and it was Oklahoma. It was a 2-1 game. It was just one of these, you know, white knuckle type games all the way down to the very end. I don't know that it's reasonable to expect that same type of game with Ohio State.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's just it's hard because Ohio State, you know, you've played all these good teams and the ERA is so bad. And so I know the coaching staff's not looking at this game like, okay, this is the easiest one this weekend, because none of these are easy by any means. And I know Ohio State's not been a big baseball school in the first place. So they have talent, just like every Power Five team. They got some type of talent. So it's just going to be good. Like, I hope that they go out there and just beat the brakes off of them and don't look back, because that'll be a good tone set for the weekend, because we didn't get to play Kansas State until Sunday of that weekend. And that's when our bats really came alive. We played two really close games against Oklahoma Texas Tech at that point. So Kansas State was where we really came alive and decided, like, okay, we can hit a little bit too.
And I said it was 2-1. That was the Texas Tech game that was 2-1, I guess.
Yeah, Texas Tech 2-1.
Yeah, that was 3-1. It was 1-0 for a long time, I feel like.
Yeah, and then that kid hit the 2-run homer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a good game. I mean, their pitcher they pitched, I think, went in the first round or second round. I mean,
yeah,
it was a good game.
Sure.
The big thing about Ohio State is the pitching's been so bad. But you look at the offense, and it just doesn't really feel like it can pick up any slack for the pitching staff. Tyler Pecorini's their best hitter so far this year. He's been their best hitter for the last couple seasons. He hit, I think, .310 last year. Led the team with home runs with 9 last year. Yeah. So they're kind of in a situation where it feels like they're going to have to, if they want a chance, they're going to have to try to manufacture something against Auburn. And I feel like this Auburn team has been so good defensively, and the pitchers have been so stingy at giving up multiple hits in an inning, not allowing the big hit, that it's hard to see from here Ohio State keeping pace with an Auburn offense, simply because the, you know, the pitching staff, their offense, both seem so par. But Sonny, you know this. Anything can happen in one of these neutral site games in an MLB ballpark. How is playing in that MLB park different than playing like at home? You have these freshmen who have been so good, and now you're asking them to go into Arlington and play in an MLB stadium.
Yeah, the definitely, because Arlington's different as well too, right? It's closed. I mean, I'm sure nobody on that team has played in an indoor baseball park other than the guys that were there in 2022. Mm-hmm. Like that, it was just like when we had that practice on Thursday or the Wednesday, whenever we went up there and practicing inside, it was just kind of like a weird feeling in seeing how high the ceiling was and how high everything is. So it's definitely going to be that, like that Thursday practice is so important just to get out and see it, because the intimidation factor on playing in something like that is just way different. It's just weird. It's hard to explain it.
How much, like, it's cavernous because it's so huge and the ceiling is so high and they've got the windows. So like it almost looks, you know, you can see out, but it's an indoor facility and there's not 40,000 people there to watch the game. Does that make it feel bigger, like even bigger, because you got a lot of empty seats? Like, no matter how big your crowd is, you could have 15,000 people there and it's still half full. So does that make it feel even bigger, or at that point are you even noticing that kind of thing?
I mean, yeah, the echoes of it are just crazy because, like, you can hear, like, you could have a normal talk conversation with your outfielder, not even think about it because there's just nobody out there. And so, yeah, it definitely does. It just having like an empty stadium like that, the echoes, like when a guy hits a ball hard, like, you hear it for – ever. It's just weird.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain it.
Reverberates through there for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's Ohio State. And that's, we think Samuel Dutton, a chance to see him again and throw all four pitches for strikes. And it would be great to get off to a hot start offensively and kind of set the tone. Not sure yet about Saturday, but we know it's Oregon State. They're like a consensus top 10 team. And when you get into Oregon State and Baylor, again, with no disrespect to Ohio State, you respect every opponent, but the stats so far through two weekends for Oregon State and Baylor more closely resemble Auburn's. And so I think a lot of people are excited to see how Auburn does against a, you know, near consensus top 10 team in Oregon State.
Yeah, the three starters for Oregon State, they are, I believe, a combined 2-2, but 1.64 ERA for Ethan Kleinschmidt. I think he's the Friday guy. Nelson Kelho is a 2.25. And it's guys that, especially Kleinschmidt, that can go deep into games, aren't giving out a ton of free passes. Nelson Kelho's had a little bit of trouble with that. But it's more of a SEC weekend type staff. And I do like the scheduling of this tournament, where it comes. You've had some games for your freshmen to kind of give them an idea before you face what is more prototypical of a Power 5 staff for the weekend and Oregon State. I feel like their bullpen has been kind of like Auburn. They've thrown a lot of guys, and a lot of them have come out of their innings with no runs allowed, maybe a few hits, but they've worked around it. They're not walking a lot of guys. And so it's definitely, from an offensive perspective, a much bigger challenge than I think you'll see on Friday.
Yeah, they've struck out 72 batters in seven games too. So they're averaging more than 10 strikeouts per game. The opponents they have done it against, they've played Xavier twice, UNLV, Indiana, Virginia, Oklahoma, and Minnesota. They've lost two in a row coming into the weekend, lost Oklahoma and Minnesota, but wins over those other two. Auburn played Virginia last year. We know what a tough program that is. No two teams are exactly the same, but it's a good program. Oregon State is going to hit the ball more closely to Auburn. They have a 320 average at this point. Ava Arquette, I think is his name. He's batting 440. So they have Oregon State. Ohio State has two guys who are hitting over 300. Oregon State has seven guys who are hitting over 300. They have four guys that are 400 or better. Now, three of those really only have, I guess, five
small
or fewer
samples.
Bats.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But Arquette's batting 440, and he started every game so far. So they've got some guys that are going to challenge you on the mound.
The one thing that makes me feel okay about this is they don't appear to do, and I've watched a little bit of them catching some Pac-12 games. I'm used to seeing Pac-12 games, catching some games on the West Coast after Auburn's done. They don't run a ton. I want to say they've got like maybe seven stolen base attempts in their seven games. So it very much feels like it's going to come down to execution on the pitching side versus actively having to hold runners, actively having to manage the running game. It's just going to go back to Butch's philosophy of don't throw an extra base hit.
Yeah.
Because they have 19 extra base hits out of their 77. It really feels like their whole thing is we're going to string together a bunch of singles. We're going to play station to station and we're going to get in, but they're not stealing bases. They're not doing the little things that help with that station to station stuff. So there's a saving grace there. It's that they're not as dangerous from the running game perspective, but you still absolutely have to keep these guys off the bases in the first place, especially with guys like Arquette. That's just hard to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's led by pitching. In four of their five wins, they've held the opponent to three runs or less. So it really is about trying to get your offense going against them, because when they've allowed more than three, that's where they've lost those back-to-back games. That's where they've come up short.
Yeah, I mean, I would think without even knowing anything about Oregon State, they've always been that team that has really good pitching. They're never going to blow you away. It's just how West Coast baseball is. All those teams out there, they're not teaching guys how to hit homers. They're teaching guys how to hit singles, move them over, and get them in. So this is going to be a close game. I don't see it. I don't see it being a 10-10 or a 10-0 type of game. So it'll be fun to watch. It really will.
Yeah. And then you get into Baylor. Now you'll talk about good pitching, and particularly good starting pitching. They're the best pitching team so far. Statistically, of the four, Baylor has the best pitching coming into the weekend.
And it's tough too, because looking at who Baylor's played, like they played Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Who's not a hitting school. They've never known hitting. They're pitching school. Youngstown State.
Yeah.
Played Stephen F. Austin and University or UTSA. So not bad teams. Yeah.
Yeah. They're going into the weekend though, saying we're going to learn a lot more about our pitching against some of these teams.
Auburn and Baylor are similar in my opinion with who they played, you know, with obviously the Troy game.
They've also done everything at home. Baylor and Auburn are two teams that have not left their ballpark all year. Whereas Ohio State's done everything on the road. Oregon State's done a lot of their stuff on the road. They did the Round Rock Classic. They were in Texas last weekend. I'm assuming they went back for classes, but maybe they just stayed. I don't know. I would assume a week. I'd assume they went back for classes, but
I think did they play a midweek? I'm pretty sure they played a midweek there.
It was canceled. They were supposed to play one on Wednesday, and it was canceled. But they were in Arizona, the College Baseball Classic. It's at some spring training ballparks, and surprise, they did that. And then they went to Round Rock, and now they're going to Arlington. So this is Oregon State has obviously traveled a lot. Ohio State's traveled a lot. Baylor has not. Baylor's very close to Auburn in that regard, and that's going to be fun to kind of watch and see. I do think their starters, like Brad said, been some of the best in college baseball. I do think Auburn's bullpen is probably, if I had to pick one, I'd say it's probably close. I think both teams have a lot of guys who have thrown up zeros so far this season. This one comes down to offense and defense, maybe?
I mean, yeah, I'd hope at this point, I hope Auburn and Baylor are both 2-0 going into that Sunday game, just to see, because like both teams would have that fire to want to beat each other. And so I think you would get a different type of competitive nature out of them, because you're right. First time on the road. mm-hmm. and then first time competing for something, because you there is an overall winner of the each of these little tournaments. So that if both teams are 2-0 going into that Sunday game, it's going to be something. I don't know if it's going to be an offensive explosion or a pitch and show out. I don't know. It's going to be special. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. In addition to the standard, like you've got to watch your pitching, but I'm interested in how the outfield plays in Auburn mm-hmm. with those, you know, a couple of new outfielders on display in the major league ballpark. Can you keep guys at one? Can you hold guys to singles instead of giving up? Like, can your outfield play have anything to do with keeping guys at first? Because yeah. I have all the, like, you know, even the teams, Baylor, I guess, has stolen. They've attempted 15 stolen bases, so they've attempted about 2 a game.
Yeah,
but we've talked about how Ike and Chase are throwing guys out at second base. Teams have not stolen bases against Auburn this year, yeah. so you can hold them to one that way, and you can erase base runners that way. Auburn has been proficient turning double plays this year on the infield. How does the outfield play? That's one of the things we'll watch and kind of get a feel for early Friday.
Yeah, this is by multiples of feet, like double-digit feet. This is the biggest outfield they'll play, mm-hmm. 100% in the whole year. And so, you know, I want to say it doesn't matter, but it will only matter for these 3 games. The only thing they're going to learn out of this is just how much they can cover and stuff like that. Because, I mean, unless you get to Omaha, I would say it's big, but it's not as big as Globe Life. Globe Life's field is huge. So it's going to be important, yes, to keep those extra bases, because doubles or singles down the line and doubles down the line and the gaps turn into triples and doubles. So it's going to be – I think Gabe's obviously going to prepare really well. I remember when we practiced there that Thursday before that he had the outfielders doing a bunch of stuff. And so, I mean, it's just – I think it'll be good to see, because Blue and Bristol and Bub, I mean, they're all blazing fast. So mm-hmm. I think it's going to be cool. They're going to have a good time.
Is this a weekend where you think you have to play Bristol Carter and Cade in every game because you need that speed yeah. and that defense for that bigger? You can't not compromise, but you can't go with maybe a lesser defender to get a bat in the lineup. You've got to have both those guys on all 3.
100%. Like, you got to have your speed out there. And I'm trying to remember what we did, but I know we put Blake Rambush out there too in 2022. That was one of the times Blake played outfield. He played right field, I'm pretty sure, against Texas Tech. Garrett Farquhar played third base. That's right. Rambo played right field, and Garrett Farquhar played third. And that was strategic. Like, that was to put your fastest guy out there to let him patrol the outfield. And it worked. I think Bryson Ware, Kaysen Howe, and Blake Rambush in the outfield. And it was strategic for the speed.
Fun fact on Blake Rambush, Seattle has made him into an outfielder. Double A Arkansas right. last year, 52 games in the outfield, 4 in the infield, all at mm-hmm. second base. Wow. So he's now an outfielder in the pros.
Yep. And he was hurt half the year with a torn labrum surgery, and so he's made that full transition. But obviously, he played a little outfield in junior college too. So it's not like it just came out of nowhere. But he's a good athlete.
Yeah.
What a great memory, Sonny. I forgot that they did that for that game.
Yeah, he played outfield a few times, and that was one of them. Because he made some great plays. I don't know if he made an assist or not, but I'm pretty sure Bryson made an assist at the plate. So that's just a fun game. That was a fun one, because that was the first win at Auburn for me.
Bryson Ware with an outfield assist? No. What are the odds of that?
It's the tone, didn't it?
Yeah. It was one of his core competencies. Question about this Baylor offense. I want to back up to that real quick. I was kind of looking at some of this stuff. 8 games, 5 home runs as a team, but they have 5 qualified hitters who have played in every game batting over 300.
Mm-hmm.
Are they probably the team that's least impacted by these additional dimensions of the fences and not needing power? Whereas Auburn, for instance, a team that has hit a lot more home runs, has to be mindful of how the offensive game changes a little bit in this ballpark.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I remember my first game, we played in Oklahoma. I hit 2 balls. And I was like, you know, for sure, that's a home run, no doubt. And then warning track, both of them. And so, like, you're going to hit a home run there, you have to absolutely drill it. Now, I know the bats are different from when I was playing. They significantly changed in 2023 to 2024, and now it's the third year. And so I don't know if you really have to change much. Like, Oregon State's going to stay who they are because they just hit singles, and move guys around. And obviously with the Baylor guys not hitting homers, I don't know if Baylor has a big park or not, but I know the ball in Texas sometimes will not fly. And so I just don't know how it is down there, but it's not really much of changing the game. It's just those 380, 390 foot home runs aren't going to be home runs now, unless you obviously down the line, but it's just different.
Their ballpark is 330 down the line and an even 400 to center field.
I mean, yeah, and it's cold too. Like, they're playing in a big old park. Like, Auburn has a relatively small park other than the left field corner, left center corner.
Yeah. Baylor, I mean, you know, they've got Tyreek Kemp, who has five doubles. Wesley Jordan has three. Jack Little has three. I think if you're a doubles hitter, you love this ballpark. Mm-hmm. You love the idea of finding a gap or going down the line and having a little extra time to run. So yeah. I do think, and, you know, Auburn has hit home runs of late. Auburn also has 17 doubles this year as a team. They've got guys who are, you know, hitting the two baggers. So I like both of these teams offensively in this game on Sunday.
Seriously, it could either be – Baylor could be either an offensive explosion with a bunch of doubles or a pitching show-out, which you just never know. It's obviously with Chatterton going out there, being a freshman, this will be his third start, correct?
Third start, yes.
And obviously, you don't even know if you get Fisher on Saturday or not. And if you get Fisher on Saturday, it's going to be even better, more competitive game too with his experience. So,
yeah,
it'll be cool. Good weekend coming up.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really fun weekend. Mm-hmm. You're going to learn a lot. You got an opportunity to take home. I mean, you guys win in 2 of 3 that weekend. And I think especially you win the close game Saturday and then you just kind of have your way on Sunday. And everybody left Arlington going, all right. Hey, we're on it now. Let's go. What's next? So seriously. I think there's potential for that this weekend.
Yep.
Game time so that everybody has them. 3 p.m. on Friday, 6 p.m. It's the second game on Saturday. That could be delayed a little bit if the first game runs late. 3 p.m. on Sunday for the finale. Jumping out in front of it now, Flow College is streaming all three games. So if you don't want to sign up for a trial membership of that, they do offer, I think it's a 5-day trial. So you sign up Friday morning, you could watch the whole thing. But there's a much better way to get just a great description and coverage of the game. Brad, do you have any idea how they could do that possibly?
They could listen to us on the radio or on the Auburn app. They can also stay on YouTube. If you're watching the video version of this show, the Auburn Tigers YouTube channel, we'll just have my mug from the radio booth, which is about 40 miles from home plate.
It is very high. The press box and the radio booth are both very high in the ballpark. I was in the press box for the Futures game, prospect all-star game for MLB last year. It is very far away.
Yeah. We're going to document some of our views and some of our experiences there, but it's a long way away, but we're going to have all of the games for you, coverage 15 minutes before first pitch. And, it's going to be a lot of fun. So listen to us for free if you don't want to have a Flow TV experience.
Yeah. Flow Baseball will hit you for about $30 a month. So,
If that trial runs out, they will get you. Yeah. I think I got when you guys went to Arlington last time.
I got too. Yeah.
Real quick, we probably need to do it. Predictions. I won last week. I'm just throwing that out there. I nailed the 3-0 call on that last week, but I think I'm saying 2-1 on this one. Oregon State's number 8 team in the country. I don't know which game they're going to lose, but I feel like this is a 2-1 weekend, which is still, you absolutely take that with the competition level you're facing on the road. 2-1, you're happy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in a similar boat as I was last week. Like, if you could get 2, I wouldn't shed a tear over the 1. I'd be way more focused on the 2. And I think you can get those. I really like where this team is, both offensively and out of the bullpen. And who knows, we may come out of this weekend feeling a whole lot better, like even better. Not that we feel bad about the starters now,
right?
But feel even better about your starting situation. So yeah, give me the offense and the bullpen. Give me 2.
I'm the same. Oh, good.
You're not calling the sweep, Sonny. You're not going to be the one guy who's I'm going to say sweep.
It's hard because you never go into a weekend wanting the sweep. You go into the weekend wanting 2.
Yeah.
Because you win two out of three all year, you're a national champion. So as much as I want to see the sweep, if they get to 2-0, if they get to 2-0, I'm calling the sweep 100%.
Yeah.
Because they'll have enough fire behind them, I think, that'll ignite it for that Baylor game.
I would agree with that. And this is not football, where if you don't if you say that you're probably not going to win every game, then it's this massive casualty. Like like Sonny said, you go in looking for two. Give me two. And then if you got the opportunity to sweep, just like Auburn did against Wright State, you got those first two, and now let's go see if you can finish business. So
you got a via run rule too. I mean,
it's hard to beat. Yeah, it's hard to beat somebody three times.
That's right.
So it's hard to, and he's playing three different teams here. So it'll be two out of three. Two out of three is the goal. They're always the first two. Just try to go 2-0, and then the third one's bonus.
There we go. All right. So we're all in agreement, 2-1 this weekend. Again, the games start on Friday afternoon. It's going to be Ohio State, 3 p.m., Oregon State on Saturday at 6 p.m., and then Baylor on 3 p.m. on Sunday. That'll do it for this episode of the Barn Baseball Show. For Brad Law, for Sonny DeShera, I'm Lindsey Crosby, and this has been the Barn Baseball Show.